First day I get there, I go to this group meditation class, right? It's in Koh Samui, Thailand. And this monk who's leading it looks at me, looks toward me. I hadn't met anybody there. He just looks at me in the first minute, he goes, "Ooh, you really need to learn how to love yourself." And I turned around like, who's this poor sap he's talking to? And then I look back and I'm like, crap, he's talking to me.
Welcome to Mindful Warrior Radio. Mindful Warrior Radio holds a space for stories of leadership, culture, performance, and flow. Tapping into the wisdom and mastery of innovative change makers and leaders from a wide range of diverse fields. My name is Cami Craig. I'm a former elite athlete, Olympic champion, turned performance and culture design coach at Mindful Warrior, and I'm your host of Mindful Warrior Radio. Thanks for joining us. Jay Glazer, welcome on to Mindful Warrior Radio. I'm so excited to have you on.
So excited to be with you. You're my gangster. How are you?
Oh, so good. I know. I'm thrilled to have you on, not only because you're an incredible human, but you're a dear friend of mine and close to my heart. And I mean, you're like the true embodiment of what a mindful warrior is. And so I thought of no better person to have on this episode than you.
Thank you.
You know, I want to share a little bit about you, Jay. You are a force in the sports media world as the NFL insider on Fox Sports, but you have been an absolute powerhouse in the mental health space. As I've gotten to know you, I witness you authentically and intentionally create connection, community, and be of service to others in every space that you enter. An example of this is your foundation in which you co-founded MVP, Merging Veterans and Players. And that's where we first met. And again, it was like love at first meet. I was like, Jay is it. He's awesome. He's doing incredible things. And immediately you helped me kind of get back into my power through that foundation. And then you courageously authored a book called Unbreakable, How I Turned Depression and Anxiety into Motivation. And you've spoken quite openly about how you've learned to love yourself from the inside out. And I believe our listeners, strongly believe that our listeners today can learn quite a bit from your healing journey. And so again,
I'll correct you one thing there.
Yes.
Not how I've learned to love myself from the inside out, how I'm learning. I'm still a work in progress. It's still going. But I just decided a long time ago for me to keep this quiet, it doesn't do anything for anybody. So I have a big voice, I have a big platform. Being of service is a huge way for me to get myself out of my own, get part the gray in between my ears. So, you know, I did a lot of really being vulnerable and opening up in a circle of athletes like yourself and veterans. And, you know, nobody's questioning my manhood. And I saw how much that helped. So I wanted to take what I knew worked there and share it with the world and share it with the masses. And, you know, the first time I really opened up, Cami, you know, I wrote the book and I saw, man, there's a lot of things in the book that could really help people, but I didn't want to wait for the book to come out to help people. So I started saying, you know what? I can immediately do it on social media and everybody else is using social media for bad. I'm going to try and use it for good and share. And the very first day I shared, I said, gang, I'm going to be open with you now. I'm going to start posting about my mental health journey. You don't know, I have depression, anxiety, ADHD, bipolar, insomnia, all clinical. But I put a mask on, I've hidden it. All these years you see me on TV, and I'm a laughy, jokey guy. And a lot of times the laughy, jokey guy is the one that you gotta be most concerned about. And immediately, a guy who I've trained in mixed martial arts for 15 years, Mercedes Lewis, still just re-signed again, 19 years. So I know this guy for almost two decades. And he's one of the first ones to reach out and said, hey, coach, I knew you're crazy. Crazy is a badge of honor in football and fighting, but I didn't know you were in pain. I'm sorry. So think about that. For everybody who's afraid to come out and say something, that's the first reaction I got. And I didn't know, you know, Twitter's a cesspool and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok are cesspools, but people say. So I was expecting people to say, oh, look at me, or oh, shut the fuck up, Glazer. And, you know, whoa, whatever, right? Cry me a river. Your life is great. You're rich. We don't want to hear it. And listen, my life is great, but between my ears sucks. And I didn't sign up for this. This is something that I used to think curse with from a child on. It's my earliest childhood memory. Now I'm trying to say, you know, now I've been blessed with it because I'm able to help other people.
No, I mean, and what a gift for you to be courageous enough and vulnerable enough to put yourself out there and to be received that way from one of your teammates, one of your people inside your circle, to be acknowledged, witnessed, and seen, and then have those be your first words to you. I want to ask you this, Jay. What are some of perhaps the more significant moments or life events that you've experienced that walked you towards or committed you towards the healing journey?
So once I started opening up about, so let me back. First time I got taken to a therapist, like something was wrong with me. I was like 4 or 5. So that was putting my head in early age. Something's wrong with me, you know? So I guess I've been trying to heal my whole life. Really when I opened up, that's when I had all these resources that came to me. I didn't know meditation. I tried to do transcendental meditation. I learned from some of the vets, and I literally wanted to choke out the dude who was teaching it to me because I got frustrated with him with the mantra he gave me. Yep. He's like, no, this is the mantra chose you. And I'm like, well, it doesn't work for me. Well, it has to choose you. And I'm like, it doesn't work for me. And I literally, like, my friend's like, yeah, it's kind of not working if you want to choke out the guru who's giving it to you. But I learned that. I learned breath work. I went to Thailand. I did a mind, body, spirit retreat where I trained Muay Thai in the jungle. And then, you know, I worked with these monks on learning how to heal the little kid, little Jason Glazer, I call him. Learning how to put my arm around him and show him compassion, because that's where the pain started. And try and learn how to love yourself from the inside out. So if I never opened up, for everybody out there who's listening to this, if I just kept hiding it all these years, I never would have had the love I get now from people. My closest friends were so much closer, because not only could they be of service to me by helping me and being there, because that helps them, but also 3/4 of them said, oh man, I'm glad you said something, because I got something too, and I don't really know how to deal with it. So that's been huge. But like I said, I've been able to heal a lot more by learning. I've learned a gratitude list. I learned different, you know, like my wife and I now, Rosie, we made up a prayer together that we learned from John Gordon, who wrote The Energy Bus. His wife, Catherine Gordon, wrote Relationship Grit. And you guys come with a prayer together. You're spiritual people, make your own prayer to God. Doesn't have to be in a prayer book, make your own thing. So little things like that. But listen, it's a work in progress. It's my level of depression, anxiety, as great as my life is, it's an everyday battle. I never know who I'm going to wake up with the next morning. It's hard to get out of bed for me most mornings of my life. So I have to do all these things to get myself out of bed. The moment I get myself out of bed, I'm going to be fucking relentless. That's always kind of been my thing of, like, I will just be relentless in everything I do. I fight that way. I do business that way. I'm an NFL insider that way. I'm just relentless, 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 until somebody goes, oh my God, get him off me already. Fine, hire this guy, or fine, like, knock me out already, or whatever it is. But same thing in the morning. It's some mornings are worse than others. Some mornings I feel like I wake up and I just automatically think things are against me and the universe hates me and I'm so unlovable and I'm a piece of garbage. And it's not fun. It's not fun. It's not a fun existence. And then, like, yesterday I was so happy for really the first time in a week. Like, I've been going through it, and I'm, because I've been doing this work the last week, some things got dredged up and it's been a hard week. And then yesterday, the therapy session, I had like a, man, great. We finally, I have a roadmap map now, which I hadn't had before, for a certain thing I'm trying to heal from when I was a kid. And so it felt great. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I went to bed that night and the sky just fell. And again, like, I don't, here's the thing about depression, anxiety. It pulls up a seat at your nightstand or your dinner table anytime it damn well pleases. It's on me to always fight back. Never missed a day of work from it. I never will. You know, I've never bailed out of something important. I never will. But what I can do now, and I'll kind of tell you something here. In the past, when I would have a really bad gray attack, when that depression, anxiety, I call it the beast getting out of the box. Mm. That happens, I'm dangerous. I'm dangerous to be around. And in the past, I would take Vicodin and drink so I could still go be that laughy personality and never disappoint someone if I had dinner or a party or something to go to. And there's a lot of times that that combination for me led me to be violent and or say shit that I would really regret later on. So I said, you know what, now that people know what's going on, I'm going to finally tell someone, if the beast gets out of the box, I'm not going to go out. I'm going to tame it. I'm going to take care of it. More than anything, I'm going to protect everybody else. So it was one night, Michael Strahan, who's I refer to as my baby sister, my best friend since 1993, literally since 93. I had never said a word to him all these years. I would just take Vicodin and go get drunk and go out, and I'd get in trouble and he'd have to break it up and he'd get mad at me over it and we'd fight over it. And so for the first time ever, 30 years in our relationship, so just right before my book came out, we're supposed to go to dinner and I said, hey bro, I can't go out tonight. The beast got out of the box. And he said, oh man, I said, yeah, this one really kicked my ass, dude. And when it happens too, I feel it physically. I feel it behind my rib cage and the left side of my gut. My joints ache like I'm in a 50-round fight in Seattle in the rain. And I said, bro, the beast got out of the box. I got to sleep this one off. And he said, you want me to come over? I said, no, I just got to, let me just sleep this one off. He said, well, you want to talk about it? And Michael's not a vulnerable guy. So I said, no. I do, but not tonight. And he said, why have you never told me? I said, I don't make the rules up. Forever, I felt ashamed with you because he and I are so competitive. And he said, yeah, but you took my ability to be your best friend away from me for 30 years.
Wow.
That's deep.
That's a big learning lesson right there.
That's a huge learning lesson. I get choked up when I tell it. Part of me is because, like, man, somebody loves me that much, because you don't feel lovable when you have this.
Right.
Same time, I feel bad for that Jay Glazer who just hid alone from this all these years when I had a friend like that who was willing the whole time, despite him not seeming vulnerable, to be like, willing to put an arm around me, willing to come right over, willing to talk, you know, talk to me. And now he knows to call me just to check up on me, and just which isn't him. So this stuff can bring you closer together to your people.
Yeah, and bring different qualities out of your people and allow them to rise. Yeah. I think being willing to share what your challenges are and what different approaches you're taking in your healing process takes a great deal of leadership. And we also know that healing is not for the weak. It is an incredible, it's a fight, you know, healing is a fight at times. Because like you said, I was going to ask you, you know, did you ever feel that you kept yourself busy from your thoughts and your depression and your anxiety? And, you know, you shared like sometimes you would take Vicodin and go out and drink so that you can maintain this persona, this kind of happy go lucky, Jay. And so I want to ask you to kind of return to, and I would even imagine still today, you know, I experience it in my own therapy and healing. What is it like when you're actually sitting in your shit and having to feel it? What is that experience like? And what does it feel like once you've moved through it? Like, what's the aftermath of it?
So it's one of the things I'm still learning. As we're saying, I'm still trying to learn to love myself from the inside out. And my therapist, like, look, you need to sit in it and feel that pain and heal it. So I'm going to go back, story from Thailand. I show up to Thailand. I'm going to this place called Kamalaya for 40 days. I had a friend look up for me the two or the five best places in the world to go. They're not rehabs, but it's like mental recharging and wellness places. So then the first one's in Bali. Second one's a place called Kamalai in Thailand. I have a friend who fought in the UFC who has a huge gym over in Thailand. So I went over there. And so at least I knew people there too. I went by myself for I think 35 or 40 days. So I'm like 35 days. And I ate perfect. Like they took my blood to see what was causing inflammation, and they had their normal menu, but they would come over and say, oh, you can't have, I actually can't have carrots. I can't have, I wasn't able to have lemon. I couldn't have spinach, I think. It was bad for me, turned out. Like, you know, human body is incredible, right? Lamb is great for me. Spinach, terrible. I didn't know how to, like, peanuts are horrible for me. I never knew. So, like, I'd get pad thai, but they would take peanuts out. Whatever, you know, so they heal you that way. They teach you breath work and meditation. The first day I get there, I go to this group meditation class, right? It's in Koh Samui, Thailand. And this monk who's leading it looks at me, looks toward me. I hadn't met anybody there. He just looks at me in the first minute and he goes, ooh, you really need to learn how to love yourself up. And I turned around like, who's this poor sap he's talking to? And then I look back and I'm like, crap, he's talking to me. And he walks over to me, puts his hand on my shoulder. There's about 12 people there. And he says, we're all going to be praying for you this week. Like my pain was that.
Yeah.
To somebody like that. Here in America, it was just, hey, Glazer's crazy. And again, crazy is a badge of honor in football and fighting. So it was just like, ah, that's Glazer. And, oh, Glazer's a lot. And that used to hurt me a lot, too. People say, oh, Glazer's a lot. And that it used to really hurt me when people would say that. Because I used to be told that growing up. And that really stuck with me. So that stings. I'm glad that people understand. Well, so I go to my first, like, you have these, basically your therapists out there are these monks. And the monk says to me, I need you to sit in your pain. Exactly what you're talking about.
Yes.
Said, I sit in my pain every day. He said, no, you experience your pain every day. I need you to sit in it. And I was like, I never heard it shifted like that. He said, what did you call yourself growing up? Was it Jay Glazer? I said, no, it was Jason when I was a kid. He said, all right, I need you to sit in your pain and hold little Jason's hand and show him some compassion. Put your arm around him because he probably never had me. And you two heal together. And he said, I don't want you to talk to anybody for 3 days. I said, hey, bro, I got ADHD. I can't not talk to someone for 3 days. That's as painful as the depression and the anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, you'll understand what I mean when you're in it. And I did. I went to different areas of this resort. And I tried to. There was a lot of things I was trying to work out. I tried to sit there in my own pain. And on the third night, I had a huge healing moment where I used to be like at war almost with the universe. So I'm a huge God guy. And I know God loves me. And I know the universe loves me. But in my mind, because I was in so much pain, I was like, man, A, I must be a horrible human to be in this kind of pain. And B, there must be something in the universe that hates me. And man, like God and universe, why are you letting that thing have such a control over my life? And it's literally, I was like sitting there at the very end. It was almost like God in the universe talked to me, said, hey, no one's against you. Mm-hmm. We needed you to feel this kind of pain so you could help others through theirs. But at the same time, we really need you to see, we made all your other dreams come true to keep you afloat. Like, that was the first time in my life I didn't feel these magical things were against me. And the first 30 years, I went to sleep without an Ambien and just dozed off. Like, my brain wasn't at war with myself, my inner self. It was really healing. And now, that I was able to do it once. That's what I'm working on with my therapist now. It's a lot more healing I need to do for that little Jason. Mm-hmm. We're working on it. I'm just starting this thing called the EMDR. We're working on it. And I'm excited to, like, again, I'm a fighter. I know how to work through things. I know how to fight. And that's what I'm going to keep doing. And now that I'm married, I want to be like that end of my life. I don't feel unlovable anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to correct the other things that were still holding me back so I could really, truly feel the level of happiness that it's been sprinkled here and there. Like the night of my wedding and the day after, I never knew I could feel or I was capable of feeling that level of joy ever.
The amount of happiness that was like oozing out of me for you and Rosie's wedding night and, you know, everything that the little bit that we got to share, because that was quite an intimate moment between the both of you. But that's signified even healing for you is going through and experiencing that. I really hear you when you say like, you're a fighter and being asked to sit for 3 days on your own, to sit with Jason, the younger self, and the time it took to have that moment where God and the universe presented this message to you that it's not against you, it's with you. And yeah, the purpose behind your pain, and the dreams that have come true are here to kind of keep you afloat and keep you moving forward.
You tend to focus only on your pain, not the good stuff.
Yes. But even just the intensity of walking into those 3 days, knowing that you were assigned to sit alone.
Yeah.
I shared with you, I did a silent retreat, and I was silent for 3 days. This was kind of right after my retirement of 13 years with the national team, 20 years playing water polo. And I remember how scared I was to just be
with you,
with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the big kind of breakthrough moment when I came out of silence was like, I didn't have to be scared. There was safety that lived and resided within me and that I could hang out with me. And it wasn't that bad. But I never had my life slow down to such an extent to where I could actually be truly, truly present. Not like half a day present, but 3 days in silence, no eye contact, no cell phones, no nothing, no mirrors, where you're just sitting with yourself. And, in sharing that breakthrough healing moment, it feels like, and then I got here, but the wrestle and the back and forth and the monkey mind and the intrusive thoughts that happen in route of those 3 days, like it's almost like a detox to get to that moment. And like you said, you're working on repeating that again. And how many times, you know, we have to kind of coach ourselves into going into that fight, but without the armor or the blocks. It's going into the fight and surrendering, mm-hmm. And allowing ourselves to be present mm-hmm. with that pain. What a practice.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm 54. I learned it when I was 52, right? But I'm really now diving in even more because it's still, it takes practice. It's work. It's, you know, it's something that it's brand new to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times you don't want to do it because it is painful, but you got anything to get to anything good, you got to go through something bad. You
know,
everything I have is unbreakable. That's unbreakable is you push your breaking point and you come through the other side of that tunnel. So yep. Nothing else could break you and hurt you, you know? So, it's like I said, still a process going on.
No, absolutely. And I think there are moments I've experienced in my healing process, moments where you level up, but then there's moments where it shares with you, there's still room to go. I got acupuncture the other day and I said, you know, I've been experiencing some sadness and some grief. He goes, great. I'll do some needles around that. He went ahead and put a needle in and I said, ooh, is that the needle for grief? Because I just felt it come over my whole body.
Wow.
And he goes, yes, in fact it was. And the tears just started flowing. Wow. And he said, I'm going to let you rest here for a moment. And I said, okay. So he's like, and I want you to sit here and feel it. And it was funny because what came into my mind was like, ooh, I probably don't want him to put this needle in me again in the same place because I don't want to feel this. But just the power of sitting and feeling and recognizing.
You release it. You get over it. Yeah.
And you get over
it. Anything bad, you're like, all right, let's get through this bad boy. Let's go.
Yes. Right? And you shared something.
You don't get through it by it just sitting there always. You've got to work through it. Yeah.
Yes. And you said something so powerful in a huddle one time at MVP that I always, always keep with me and use even with my clients. It's not a breakdown. It's a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. It's not a breakdown. It's a breakthrough. So when you feel yourself on the ground, a mess, the tears are flowing, the snot shooting out of your nose, and you feel like you are broken. You are working through something and you're getting through to the other side. And it's a weather pattern that's moving over you. It is not a breakdown, but rather a breakthrough. And how this is a great example. And that statement is a great example of how you're using anxiety and depression as motivation to move on to the other side.
Well, here's the other thing I did. Okay. And this is probably the most important thing. Like I in my book, I talk about, you know, how I get through them, which is, you know, having a team. So my Fox NFL Sunday team is huge for me. When I'm not with them in the offseason, I struggle. For years, I had a fight team that was huge for me to have guys like Randy Couture and Jay Haran and Chuck Liddell and all these people went recently in Arizona, Mark Kerr and Aaron Simpson, all these guys, my old fight team members. That's everything for me. When I'm struggling too, hey guys, can you come over and punch me in the face? I'm like, yeah, we got you. But like God's a team for me. Rosie's a team. My dog is a team. There's teams, right? Being of service is a huge thing for me. Of, you know, whether it's charity work, starting charities, which I've done three now, and I'm working on a fourth. You know, even when I was broker than broke, I would, in New York City, I would just try and get homeless guys jobs just by walking them in place and helping them out. Deliver gifts to children on Christmas Eve who had sent letters to Santa that goes to the public post office, were just really sad letters. And I would show up to their homes and it didn't cost a lot. They're looking for gloves or they're looking for socks or it would cost me, you know, $15 or whatever, like whatever it is. There's ways, right? So being of service is huge. Laughter still is big, right? So it's not always great. Even if you fake a laugh, when you smile, your brain doesn't know if it's real or not and releases chemicals, endorphins. But the biggest thing I've done is I flipped the script on my depression, anxiety. And when I made them all my superpowers, I did not fall victim to them anymore. So let me explain. My ADHD, which, you know, makes you all over the place. I got six things going at once. You know, I got, you know, Fox NFL Sunday. I was a longtime host for mixed martial arts. I have a mixed martial arts cross training program for pro athletes. First one ever started in America. I was the first host of an MMA show in America. I had two charities going. I'm, you know, spokesman for different brands. There's a million things I got going on. Without ADHD, I couldn't do that, right? So I had to look at it and go, okay, you know what? Thank you. I'm glad I have this because I could do six things at once. And Fox and Apple Sunday, me being a reporter, that's 200 calls going on. The same, boom, everything's going on constantly. It's chaos, right? Talk about chaos, anxiety. Where did my anxiety help me? A, my work is in a cage or on camera, okay? I am great in chaos. I suck in calm. I'm great in chaos. So anxiety really helped me there, but the anxiety also made me so afraid. I had such anxiety about not making it. I outworked the world, not by a little, but by a lot. I was so relentless. Like the first day I walked in the giant locker room in 1993, I was like, man, I got no education, no experience, no nothing here, but I got motherfucking me. And I will outwork these cats, not by a little, by a lot. If they work 40 hours a week, I'll go 100. Like, I won't sleep. I'll go, go, go. And I was that anxiety of me failing or me having to go back to where I had been, where I came from. That anxiety propelled me to do that. And the depression, so it took me, most people don't know this, it took me 11 years to get a full-time job. My first 11 years of my career, the most that I can count on, my average salary was $9,450 a year, living in New York City. But folks, I know what it's like to be broke and unbreakable. And I was living in areas I had no business living in, but it's the only thing I could afford. And I'd have to decide each week what bills get turned off. The only bill I couldn't get turned off was my phone bill because I was a reporter. But I had to know each week, okay, gas will be this month, electric will be this month, rent, I'm going to have to, you know, make sure I stay away from the guy coming, trying to get the rent check. Each guy owns a building each day for a long time. There'll be penalties. Like, it's just, man, it was brutal. So now, for 11 years, I was trying to get a full-time job. 11 years, I was told no. And my depression told me that I was worthless. So if I had a higher sense of self-worth, if I got all those times I got turned down and rejected job after job after job, I would have quit. But because I felt deserving of being passed over and, you know, deserving of bad things happening, I didn't mind them. Mm-hmm. So I keep the fight going for 11 years. I'm like, sure, I'm not getting a job. I deserve that. Sure. Yeah, I'm a piece of crap. Of course this is happening. Good. Let's just keep going. And if it makes sense. So it became my superpower. And then the other thing was, because the anxiety and the depression tell you it's hard to feel love from the inside out, it motivated me to go do all these great things to get love from the outside in and hope they can meet in the middle one day, which I think I'm getting close.
They're
my superpower. I would not be where I am without them.
I love flipping that script and being able to use it as a superpower and seeing it that way. I think also, Jay, as you talked about what you're really focusing on today in your healing process, you talk about a prayer between you and your wife, Rosie. You talk about a gratitude list. You're working one-on-one with a therapist right now, trying a different approach with therapy. And
I got three therapists right now.
Well, there you go. I'm like, that's
quite, because I look at therapists as coaches. So like I have three different coaches. We don't, when we fight and we have multiple coaches, football, you have multiple coaches. So like I have a therapist doing EMDR with me right now. I have a therapist who works with me and Rosie, so I don't screw that up. And I have a therapist who has a different approach. So I got three more holistic therapists. So I have three going right now at the same time.
That is a grind. Like, I will tell you that it is a full commitment and a grind. So what role does rest and recovery play in your life today throughout your healing process? And I'm really curious of what you will say, because as I've experienced, you know, I got that needle in my sternum and all that grief released, and I was exhausted for the rest of the day, like totally depleted, got a great night's sleep and went after it the next day. But healing is exhausting.
It is. Yeah, but it's the same thing. I'm just going to be relentless.
Yeah.
The only thing I know how to do.
Yeah. So rest and recovery perhaps doesn't.
Well, I do a cold plunge every day. I do my breath work and meditation every day. Rosie and I live, you know, in Malibu. We go down this little beach area and we do this breath work and meditation. I take my dogs on a beach walk. So I've been able to slow myself down, I think.
Yeah.
No, it's a good question. I'm not sure I know. Look, I know, look, in Unbreakable, we train people. One of our models there is we're going to recover you as hard as we train you. So I definitely do a lot more than I ever have. I'll go, okay, we take 12 minutes right now to do breath work and calm my nervous system down. Yeah. So I sprinkle it throughout the day. And we do a gratitude list every night, every single night. So Rosie and I go to bed for things we're grateful for, because that allows us to wake up in a better place the next day.
Yeah. What has surprised you most throughout your healing journey?
No, what surprised me most is just the reaction of how many people have been hiding this, and how many people said how grateful they are. The coolest part, I've had a bunch of people tell me that I saved their lives and they're going to commit suicide until they read Unbreakable or heard me on my podcast, something that resonated. They felt not alone and they changed their minds. That's the coolest thing. So I was doing the cold plunge this morning, and I'm now working on trying to give Jay Glazer some grace. Hey, you're not such a piece of crap. Even that I have to work at. You're not. And give myself grace and go over some of the things that I have done to be of service to people. And in the cold plunge, I was sat in there today, 45 degrees for 7 minutes and 19 seconds.
Nice.
The whole time I just thought about, okay, the things that I've done to help people and the reactions, to start letting my heart get filled up. Because I don't think it does it in the instance where it cuts through the gray, mm-hmm. but I never banked it. So now I'm trying to bank it a little bit more.
Yeah. It's that sitting still, it's banking it. And what is it to slow down? I think, you know, you're inspiring me to be able to slow down as well. I mean, I'm right next to you with the ADHD and going 100 miles an hour all the time. And, what is it to actually allow it to absorb rather than it just flying off us or rolling? It's like water. Yeah. I think, you know, Jay, you've made such a positive impact on me. I came into Unbreakable, your gym, to experience what MVP was all about at a time where I had no confidence. And I was kind of in a place where I had a lot of doubt. I didn't know what was next for me after a lifetime of being an elite athlete. And immediately, you know, I was welcomed with open arms, and it felt like a team from the moment I stepped on the mat. And your leadership, I can speak from myself, and I know a lot of people share the same exact feelings, but your leadership in this space is godsend. And it has made such an impact and difference in so many other people's lives. And so I thank you for the way that you continue to be the badass that you are, to continue being the fighter that you are, how you use your brain and your giant open heart to continuously think about ways to evolve yourself and mentor and support other people in their mental health journey. I want to thank you so much for your time and just sharing, you know, what you've embarked on, what has really supported you, what you're working on today, normalizing that, you know, many people are in this same place, and, you know, what are some tools and skill sets they can use to help ground themselves and work through some of these challenges. So thank you so, so much.
Yeah, I just want to tell you before we go.
Yeah.
When you walked in at Unbreakable that time, even though you were in a really great dark space, your light shined through. That's why I gravitated to you immediately. I'm like, oh my God, this girl's a gangster. Yes, and your light shines through. So even when you're in pain, and even when you're dark, I want you to know your light shines through.
Thank you, babe.
I was like, oh, this is a teammate of mine right away. And I saw it the moment you came through. So I just want you to know, even when you feel like, I'm this, I'm that, no, your light shines really bright.
Well, thank you. And I've always felt like you had my back. So
you're right.
And as do I. So thank you, Jay. Appreciate your time. Love you big.
Love you.
And we'll see ya.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please take the opportunity to share with a friend, follow Mindful Warrior Radio, and leave a review. To learn more about Mindful Warrior and Mindful Warrior Radio, please follow us on Instagram at The Real Mindful Warrior. And check out our website at www.mindfulwarrior.com. I look forward to our next discussion here on Mindful Warrior Radio.